This morning we come to this third petition in the Lord's Prayer. This third petition in the Lord's Prayer. We began this prayer 6 weeks ago with this stunning, humbling, and privileged reality that through Jesus Christ we can approach and call the Holy Almighty God our Father in the most intimate, personal, relational way. What a tremendous privilege has been given to us. He's not some distant, impersonal deity. But the greatest truth of all, that the God of heaven and earth can be called our Father. He loves you unimaginably because He did the unimaginable. He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to be your substitute on the cross so that through that trusting in what He has done, God can be addressed as our Father. And so that was a great little phrase we looked at. I hope it ministered to you and just breathed a fresh new life into that truth into you. And then following that, Jesus gave us six petitions that we can begin offering in this prayer that He's teaching us and His disciples how to pray. The first one was, hallowed be your name, hallowed be thy name. In other words, may your name, God, may your name, Father, be revered and valued as supreme, as adored, as glorified in and through my life, as well as others. But it starts with me. The second petition was, thy kingdom come. In other words, may your kingdom be advanced and expanded, yes, first of all, through me, and then through others. And then, yes, finally, at the end of the age, when your kingdom will rule without any obstruction whatsoever. And then today we come to this third petition, thy will be done. So before we get into it, let's look at a couple of things here. Let me address this first. The Bible teaches and illustrates in several places the power of prayer. But the Bible also teaches and illustrates that God is a completely sovereign God over everything and over every being, whether it's physically on this earth or whether it's in the spiritual realm. He is absolutely sovereign. And the Bible teaches both of these. So when you look at those two statements there, prayer is powerful and effective. God is completely sovereign. How do you put those two things together in your minds and in your practice? How do we put together, thy will be done? If God is completely sovereign, why do we even pray that? Because it's apparent if He's completely sovereign, His will is going to be done whether I pray it or not, right? That's the way we can think. And that's pretty accurate. And so why bother praying that if He's that kind of sovereign God? And one of the verses that would support that line of thinking, we actually had early on in our monthly memory verses. I don't know how many of you will remember this. One year we took all our memory verses from the book of Isaiah. And so this was from Isaiah 14, 24, and 27. See what it says. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have intended, so it has happened. Just as I have planned, so it will stand. For the Lord of hosts has planned. Who can frustrate it? Rhetorical question. No one. As far as my outstretched hand, who can turn it back? He is a sovereign God. And so some people have actually taken this truth and gone to the full extent of it and saying, there's no use to praying because He's going to do what He has willed to do, and His purpose and plans are in doing it. He's going to do it. And so why bother praying? And so people ask that question. And it's going to be done whether I pray for it or not. But on the other side, the question comes up, well, does God change His mind as a result of our prayers? If God has planned to do something, it's His will to do something, and if I'm approaching Him, particularly if I'm approaching Him in that persistent, persistent, a perseverance type of prayer, prayed in faith for His glory, will God change what He had originally intended to do and answer this prayer? In other words, if I'm praying properly and I'm praying persevering in this prayer, will God say, well, you know, if you're going to be that persistent in your prayers, I'll do what you're asking. And He changes what was maybe He was originally planning to do. That's what some people, we struggle with that, can struggle with that sometimes. Again, how does prayer fit in effective, moving, powerful prayers? How does it fit in with God being sovereign? Important questions. Sorry, I won't lean against the pulpit anymore. Important questions. Greatly debated questions. Challenging, even complex questions. And so with that being said, and it is now 11:40, I want to officially let you know I'm going to retire right now at 11:40 and let the person that follows me answer these questions, and you make sure you ask him to answer them for you, okay? No. I believe there's an answer to these questions. I just don't know what it is. How about that? It's one of the great paradoxes of Scripture, which just simply reminds us again that God and the mind of God and the ways of God are infinitely above us, infinitely above what our minds can reason out and sort out and put together in neat little boxes. What may appear to us as an impossible dilemma, what may appear to us as some kind of contradiction in our minds, it's not a contradiction in God's mind. It's not an impossible dilemma in God's mind. But that just illustrates again just how far above us God really is. Let me see if I can illustrate that for you in a couple of ways. I'm going to ask you three questions here, all right? First question, who wrote the Gospel of Matthew? Some people will say, Matthew, duh. And some people will say, well, the Holy Spirit. Well, which one is it? Well, then some people say, well, it was Matthew and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so did Matthew write a verse and then say, Holy Spirit, you write the next verse? And they just kind of alternated like that until the gospel was finished? Well, obviously that didn't happen. Did the Holy Spirit kind of turn Matthew into a robot? And he just mechanically wrote whatever the Holy Spirit forced him to write? And again, we don't believe that either. Because if you read the Gospel of Matthew, it's Matthew. It's his heart and soul. It's his vocabulary. It's his style. It's his remembrances. It's Matthew. 100% Matthew, but 100% God. How can you have 200% of something? You can't. At least in our minds. Not in God's mind. It was 100% Matthew, and it was 100% the Holy Spirit. So that what Matthew wrote were the very words the Holy Spirit wanted written, and yet there was no manipulating or violation of Matthew's will. How do you put that together? God has no problem putting it together. Second question, who lives your Christian life? Someone might say, not I, but Christ liveth in me, Galatians 2:20. But then Paul comes back and says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline or buffet my body to bring it into subjection or to make it my slave. So who's doing it? Us or the Holy Spirit? What's the answer? Both. You know, it's got to be all of us. It's got to be a total commitment. Romans 12, I offer my body as a living sacrifice to Him. And yet it's got to be God too. Christ, it's not me, but Christ in me. So, again, how can you have 200% of something? 100% me, 100% Holy Spirit. Seems like a contradiction. Not to God. flows perfectly. How about this question? Since it's Christmas season, was Jesus God or man? What's the answer? Yes. Right? Yes. 100% God, 100% man, not without sin. Again, how can you have 200%? Seems like a contradiction. Well, only in our minds, not in God's. That's a paradox. And so in all these examples, and I could keep going, both sides are true, and yet if you've tried to try to put them together, you probably have fried a few circuits up here because it's impossible to truly do that. But look, can I just caution you about something with paradoxes? Be careful that you don't come up with something in the middle that ruins and weakens both truths. Because that can happen. In our finite little minds, we try to make reconciliation between these, what seems to us, opposite truths, and we end up weakening both. And so just be cautious about that. Just let them coexist because there's no contradiction in God's mind. And you just believe them both. And you go forth in faith that both are true. And so Jesus here, He's telling us to pray to the sovereign God, "Thy will be done." He's sovereign. His plan is sovereign. His will is sovereign. But on the other hand, prayer works. God moves and responds to the prayers of His people. So just simply give thanks that God is so infinitely above you and it's no problem with Him. And just stand in humbleness and worship and praise and give thanks to Him for being such an incredible, I'll say it, awesome God in this regard. Just be amazed. All right, so with that little bit of introduction kind of thing, let's look at this third petition, "Thy will be done." And in one sense, this is not hard to understand. You know, there's nothing mysterious here. You don't even have to look it up in the original language to understand what it's saying. There's nothing hard about this petition, except in the application and the incorporation of it into our lives. That's where it gets hard. As I've been saying with these first two petitions, that we have to pray for these first to be true in our lives before we think outside or an expanded, broadened sense of praying in other areas. It's got to start in my life. His name has to be hallowed in my life. His kingdom needs to be advanced in and through my life. And His will must first be accomplished in my life before I start praying about other things and other people. And so, you know, when you pray this prayer, "Thy will be done," you're praying that you're willing to do what God wants you to do. You're praying that you're going to pursue His desires instead of your own desires. You're going to serve where He wants you to serve. You're going to wait where He wants you to wait. You're going to act when He leads. You're going to put Him first above everything and everyone, and most of all, above yourself. So that's kind of what you're praying. So one way to put it this way is this way. This part of the prayer is a request for God's will, God's desire, God's plan to rule, to have top billing in my life, in the choices I make and the desires I have. And so, once again, we are called to pray this prayer individually for ourselves first. It must start with us individually. It's a prayer for God's will first to be done in my life, in your life. Now, the basic difficulty or challenge can easily be seen if you kind of just lay it out in some logical steps. So I'm just going to quickly walk through this, but you can see the conflict that can happen sometimes. So, number one, God has a will concerning your life. And I'm not just talking about this big will. I'm talking about His will in the everydayness of your life. His will in your choices, His will in your work habits, His will in your attitudes, His will in how you respond to things and people may not be very pleasant at the moment. His will for your longings in your life, all of that, okay? He has a will for all of that, not just the one big thing that sometimes we have a tendency to think of. Number two, God's will encompasses His desires for my life. We understand that. Number three, but I also have a will that encompasses the desires for my life. And that leads us to number four, which is sometimes those wills are in conflict with one another. And that's where it can be challenging. Sometimes my will, my desire is in conflict with His will and His desire for me. And so that leads to number five. When there's a conflict, either God's will must prevail or my will must prevail. There's only one choice you can make, one or the other. And so number six, when I pray Your will be done, I'm asking that His will prevail over my will. Right? I'm asking that His will prevail over my will. And number seven, and the only way for that to happen is for me to surrender and to relinquish my will to His. And so praying, Thy will be done, that's a serious thing. Because it requires dying to yourself. It requires relinquishing of my will, my desires, my longings to Him and what His will is for me. So if you want to pray this prayer and pray it on a daily basis, which by the way, it'd be a good prayer to start your day off every day with this prayer. It could work something like this. Father, may Your name be hallowed and honored and valued in me today. May your kingdom come and be expanded and advanced in and through me today. And may Your will be done in and through me today. That's a pretty good prayer to start your day off with. Very practical prayer. These opening three petitions. It'd be hard to improve on these three opening petitions for a prayer for your life every day. But again, if you want to pray this on a daily basis, then what you're also asking God to do is that throughout the day when situations come up, where it's so easy and so natural for your will and what you hope and what you feel like responding to assert itself, what you're asking God to do is to remind you in those kinds of situations, no, Father, it's not my will that I want to be done. I want Your will to be done in this particular situation and how I respond in this situation. And if you begin to pray this prayer with an expectancy that God's going to answer, I think you'll find out throughout the day, He'll remind you of, remember, this is what you desired, this is what you asked, this is what you prayed, and He'll show you how to respond. He'll show you what He wants you to do in that particular situation. Also recognize when we're praying, Thy will be done, we're also praying that His will be done in terms of those areas where we need direction and guidance. We're also, it involves those things that just simply touch my life throughout the day, whatever that kind of situation happens to be. And so we're praying, Lord, when these kind of things happen, when I don't know what to do, Lord, may it not be the way that I would kind of write and script my life, because if the truth be told, if we had the ability to write and script our life, we would write our life in the most comfortable way we could. And so, Lord, Thy will be done in these areas too, and may Your will be done also in how I respond. May Your will be done in the fact that You want me to trust You. May Your will be done in the fact that You want me to rest in You. May Your will be done in the fact that You want me to wait on You at times. His will being done encompasses all of those kinds of things. And so as you begin to pray this, and you realize all the different areas in your life that it impacts, you realize what an all-encompassing prayer this is to pray, "Thy will be done in me." Covers a lot of things. A lot of things. Would you please catch this too? I want to pray this prayer, "Thy will be done," not out of some sense of resignation that God's going to do what His will is going to is anyway. I don't want to come in that kind of average attitude. He's sovereign. He has a plan. Your will's going to be done because it's always going to be done. But if it's a situation where you don't know what God's will is, or regarding yourself, regarding someone else, I want to pray, "Thy will be done." Not in a sense of that resignation, but I want to pray, "Thy will be done," because I'm asking that of whom? Whom am I asking that your will be done? My Father. Right? So I'm taking this request, "Your will be," I'm taking it to my Father. That really changes what's behind that, "Your will be done." It's not that, "Lord, your will be done. I know it's going to be done anyway, so I'm just going to say the words here." No. It's my Father, and I know I can trust my Father. I know my Father has the best for me. He has a loving plan for me. He's even going to take the hard things that happen and work it together for good for my life. That's what my Father does. And so in these situations where I don't know what to do, I don't know the guidance, whatever's happening, when things are happening to me, "Lord, Father, I take it to You. I know You are my loving Father, and therefore I can pray, 'Thy will be done,' because I know it flows out of Your love and compassion and mercy for me." And so I put it this way. I can pray, "Thy will be done," no matter the circumstance or the situation. And know that is the very best prayer I can pray, because I'm praying it to my loving Heavenly Father. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's the easiest prayer to pray, because His will may involve some hardship. His will may involve some curves in the road. His will may involve some realignment of priorities and longings. His will might even involve death sooner than I expected, whether for me or for someone else. But I'm praying His will be done, again, not out of some resignation that it's going to happen anyway, but out of my faith in my loving Heavenly Father. I don't know if that clicks with you, but it's really clicked with me as I've thought about it. That I'm approaching my Father and praying His will be done. And that makes it a very different prayer, at least in my mind it does. And therefore, praying "Thy will be done" can really, truly be a faith-filled prayer. Can really be a glad-hearted prayer. Can really be an expectant prayer because of whom I'm praying it to, my Father. It's often been said that Jesus is the best commentary on what He teaches. And that is absolutely true. He always lived out what He teaches. And we see that better anywhere else in this regard than in that time in the Garden of Gethsemane that we somewhat recently studied in our study of the Gospel of Mark. So all you have to do is visit the Garden of Gethsemane and watch Jesus in this great hour of turmoil in his soul. And you remember there were some very descriptive terms that the gospel writers used to describe that. Deeply grieved, distressed, troubled, in agony, sweating drops of blood. Jesus was literally going to experience hell itself. Because hell, in essence, is one, God the Father's righteous, holy judgment against sin and sinners. And number two, the complete absence of the presence, the loving presence and care of God the Father. And that's what Jesus was going to experience as he went to the cross. That's in essence what hell is. And so the depth that we talked about in that study, those studies, the depth of what Jesus was going to experience and what he knew he was going to experience, again, is way beyond what we can try to understand and fully grasp. And yet, he prayed, and more than once, didn't he? He prayed, "Not my will be done, but yours be done." Jesus lived what he's telling us to pray here. He lived it. He knows what's involved to pray, "Thy will be done." He lived it. And then Jesus adds this onto the petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the question is, exactly how is God's will done in heaven? If this is talking about the angels, and I believe it is, then God's will is always done in heaven. You remember when we were memorizing Psalm 103 a few years ago, toward the end of that psalm, it states this in verse 20, "Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word." And so how is God's will done in heaven? Let me state it this way. In heaven, God's will is always done. God's will is instantaneously and swiftly done. God's will is completely done. And God's will is joyfully done. Every time. And so that's a way for us to think about this phrase, "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So Lord, again, we're going to start with ourselves. It's got to start there, right? So Lord, may your will, Father, may your will be done in me and through me. May it be done swiftly. May it be done completely. Can we also add, Lord, may I do it joyfully? That's the way it's done in heaven. And if I'm praying for His will to be done in me, as it is in heaven, then I've got to incorporate that in my prayers. And by the way, one day is coming when that will be a reality in every place and in every being forever and ever and ever and ever. What a day that'll be. I've got a bonus prayer for you to add to this. All right? It would go something like this. Father, make my desires more and more in tune with your desires so that there's not even a struggle or battle because my will is so aligned with your will. Isn't that where you want to get to? That there's not even a struggle. Because my will is just in line. Because I just want to do what God wants me to do. That's where we want to get. Sorry, I did it again. David seemed to have that in his life. He prayed in Psalm 40, verse 8, "I delight to do thy will, O God." Wow. David delighted. Wasn't perfect always, obviously. But he delighted. He wanted to know. He wanted to do it. That was what was in his heart. And it was a delight for him to do the Father's will. If you read the Gospel of John, you see that several times Jesus said the same thing, basically. John chapter 4, verse 34, he said, "My food is to do what? The will of Him who sent me." That feeds my soul. A couple of chapters over, John 6, 38, he said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." That's what Jesus was about, doing the Father's will. And His will was perfectly aligned with the Father's will. So, Father, make my desires more and more in tune with Your desires so that there's not even this struggle, this battle, even a hesitancy, because my will is so aligned with whatever You want me to do, whatever You want to do in me and through me. All right, so as we've looked at this third petition this morning, I've chosen to spend my time on its personal application in our lives. Yes, I want to pray for God's will to be done in a much broader way. Yes, I want to pray for God's will to be done in my family and in my community and in its leaders, locally all the way up to nationally. Yes, I want to pray that God's will be done in defeating the enemy and his schemes and his agents in society and people's life. Those are all proper prayers, but at least today that's another sermon. Because those prayers mean very little if it's not happening in my life first. And I realize that's where the greatest battle is for people, is His will being done in my personal life. And so I just wanted to concentrate on that with you this morning, not to dismiss those other important ways we can pray for His will to come on earth. And may I say this to you, as we pray our year verse, not just in sharing the gospel with people, but as you engage with other Christians, may the Holy Spirit guide you first, but as He does, may He give you a boldness to challenge, present this truth to another brother or sister. You know, the Lord's Prayer says we're supposed to be praying, "Thy will be done," and it starts in our own personal lives. Brother, sister, where are you with that? Because it doesn't happen many times, right, in Christians' lives. And whenever it doesn't happen in Christians' lives, in the non-Christian community, they have a decent idea of how Christians are supposed to live. And so when it doesn't happen in a Christian's life and they're seeing it, God's name is not hallowed, is it? It's diminished. And so again, the importance of personally applying this in our lives. All right, two quick things. Number one, just to remind you, Jesus taught us to pray this prayer as an antidote to personal sin in our lives. In other words, sin starts in the heart, and so it's only when my heart desires God's will more than it desires my will and my desires that I live a godly, Christ-like life. And so the more this becomes a reality in my life, the more I go away from any kind of sin in my life because my will's aligned with His will. So let me close with this little quote. Most of you know the name J.I. Packer, although he's with the Lord now, wrote the classic Knowing God. But he said this, "If therefore we are to pray the Lord's Prayer with understanding and sincerity, when we say, 'Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done,' I should be adding in my mind the words, 'in and through me.' And so giving myself to God afresh to be, as far as I can be, the means of answering my own prayers." Again, just the personal application. So, get the connection. As His will is done in my life, His kingdom is advanced through my life, which all leads to His name being hallowed in a greater, fuller way. through my life. And that's what we've been saying the main purpose of this prayer is, that God's name would be hallowed. So let's pray. So Father, here's your word to us today. Here's what your Son taught us to pray, that your will would be done in our lives. It has to start with us. And so, may your Spirit be prompting us now how you want us to respond. There's all sorts of ways that there can be the struggle between desires and longings and wills versus your desire and will for us. Thank you that you understand we are a work in progress. But Lord, may our heart cry out to you. Would you work this more and more and deeper in our lives? And that we can come to you, and sometimes when we're not sure how to pray for a situation or for a person or something in our own lives, we can, because you are our loving Heavenly Father. Pray it, Lord, I don't know what your will is, but may your will be done. Knowing that that is a good prayer to pray, if prayed from that heart attitude of, I'm trusting you as my Heavenly Father. So Lord, just continue to grow us in this. May this become more of a reality in our lives, of you reigning, not as a horrible dictator that we see in countries around the world, but as the Holy God and our loving Father. May you rule in our lives, that your name may be hallowed as people watch us and listen to us and engage with us. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.